Welcome to day 38, almost down to the 10-day countdown. Today we're going to be talking about hurricane surfing and cliff jumping with respect to the journeying practice. So before we get into that, we're just going to get into our body, into the breath. Let's start with the underwater breath and with the tortoise contractions and belly movements. So just inhale as if you're underwater, breathing through a straw. And as you're inhaling, just see if you can really fill that whole egg area and volume and yummy places in your tummy. You're back. So keep inhaling with that pattern. And see if you can fill up your whole chest up into your collarbones. And then exhale kind of from the top down. And then squeeze very gently from the sides to the center. And exhale again. So just give yourself a couple of moments, minutes to really engage with the breath, with the details, with the perineal floor contractions, again towards the front, wrapping around the sides. And then as you exhale, squeezing all around your body like a belt. So we'll stay with the breath. And I'm just going to remind everybody that's still kind of full on here. Try and shift your showers to 2 minutes of pretty cold showers. Now, it doesn't have to be as hard, cold as it can be, but as cold as you can take it. And we're either going to be focusing on the releasing breath so that you're not allowing your body's instinct to tighten up, because we're training our nervous system to do something very specific. And if you can negate a certain instinctual fright alarm, like the bracing. We talked about the big buffalo coming to bump into us. Reducing that instinctual bracing experience is actually the way you would, one, survive being underwater if you were really cold. And two, more importantly, it changes a really deep switch for stress and for being triggered by familiar situations or big surprises and things like that. So the showers is a really great way to train your nervous system. And I've been getting a lot of notes and emails from people that how much that commitment has changed their commitment to themselves. So pretty cool. So let's keep going with the breath pattern in the sense of the underwater feeling, just so our muscles are really engaged, and the whole tortoise breathing again, so our muscles are engaged. But let's just bring our awareness to what we experience just naturally as we're inhaling. So just take a deep breath. And then exhale. And just check in with Wednesday. How's today? As we're getting more connected with the practice, we're also going to want to check in with our ability to experience things that are kind of precise. It's, you could say that if you open your fridge door, there's lots of things you can check. So when you open your attention to yourself, it's good to have a way to go through a sequence of what your awareness needs to look at so that you are aware of your awareness. I know that sounds really weird, but let's just try that, what I mean by that. So staying with a good rhythm of breathing, bringing your attention to the experience of discernment, and there's the whole six minds part you can do with this, but a really good place to start is just with a general feeling of what is your conscious discernment like, in the sense of right now, Wednesday morning. If you had to have a scale of, I don't know, 5 to 10 or something, where's your conscious discernment at? Does it feel a lot of aliveness, a lot of awareness, a lot of presence? Is it available? And if you drop into your visceral discernment, that's a different kind of aliveness, a different condition of being. You know, the meaning there is a lot more, I don't know what I call gur and purr. You know, there's a lot more juice going on. When you drop into your instinctual discernment, it's really hard to even put a word to that, but there's definitely a kind of nod on the inside that, yep, yeah, really deep down there, there's a part of me that knows whatever discernment really means, as an experience and as a way to steer in life. And that way it isn't philosophy, it isn't things you have to remember, and I always laugh talking about how it's easy to stop talking, at least to yourself. So by bringing your attention to your discernment as a conscious, visceral, and instinctual quality, you're just going deeper into that reflection of yourself. And the same is true when you go into the experience of your autonomy and authenticity. You can feel your authenticity or your whole self, you know, on a very conscious level. And to be with that. Okay, this is me Wednesday morning being very conscious to my whole self, to my authentic being, to my innate autonomy, you know, and the playfulness of life. And then there's a visceral feeling of your autonomy, you know, and there's still a playfulness to that, but there's also kind of imminence to that. And for some reason, I'm thinking of... forgot his name, sorry. he was in jail for about 26 years, came out, and Mandela said, I've been free every day of my life. So sometimes there's a place deeper within ourselves that's a deeper within ourselves. So if we drop even deeper than that into your instinctual whole self and autonomy, I just feel like what I think what people call the Buddha's roar, where there's, you know, another kind of imminence and aliveness and humor, you know, and a really, I think, a deep source of compassion. So here's a couple of questions to just maybe get us into the frame of the journeying practice. And then we're going to move on to the next part of this. So I would encourage you to stay with the really deep, thorough tortoise breathing. And we'll come back to maybe a couple of more details with the contractions in a bit, but just stay with the breath, stay with your posture. See if you can be with this practice with some discernment and some authenticity experientially. Here's a couple of questions. What needs to change for you to experience your whole self more? You know, you don't need to try and type in an answer. But just to reflect on that, what is the change? Not like what is the 10,000 changes you need to make over the next 10,000 days, but what's the change you could make in the next hour that would allow you permission and the aliveness and the awareness to experience your whole self just a little bit more? And answering the question isn't really the point. it's being willing to keep that on the just the way you see the world. It's okay. And am I aware that my awareness is blocked or open, at least to myself? And in the same way, another question would be, what needs to change to create the life that you want? Now, there's a part of me that gets all squirmy because when I say things like that, it sounds like I'm trying to sell people a coaching course or something. And I'm not suggesting we need to create a life that is projected with expectation. I'm just asking if there's space to be creative about what you want in your life. It doesn't have to be a castle or a boat or something magical and cool. It can just be reversing the order. I want to feel creative about my life. Maybe I don't have to create the life that I want in some myth, but I want to feel the creativity again. And that just brings us right back to now. So keep those questions around once in a while. They're kind of handy for just making sure we have room for now. So let's go back to our cave because it's time to leave. And we've been in our cave with a Hard Times twin. either sitting on a cot facing all of the layers and difficulties and lies and whys that have to do with addiction. And that's a very, very important practice. So please spend time there with yourself and with your twin. Anytime you're feeling compulsion or reacting to being too tired and anything that makes you want to compensate. Unless you just need a nap. And if you need a nap, then find a good nap. But it doesn't have to always be a control reflex with chemistry. You know, meditation is kind of like a nap too, in a way. We can sit in the proverbial hotel bathroom with the lovely ways to clean ourselves off and make ourselves look good or better. And there's an environment there to, you know, hopefully very compassionately and patiently bring our alignment with our hard times twin back into a kind of right relationship with how we move through the world. And it isn't about being pretty or handsome or fashionable. It's about coming to a place where we move into the world wholeheartedly as ourselves through how we appear. And there's no right way to do that. It's just being conscious that you're actually emanating yourself from the inside out, or you're hiding yourself from the outside in. And with obviously what we're trying to learn together here, this has been about coming from the inside out from before we even started. So just bringing that quality of awareness to that part of the practice, because that's in the modern world, it's a really good thing to check in on. You know, am I actually authentically really being me in the world, or am I buying into something that seems like a great shell? I'm trying not to make tortoise breathing jokes about shells. So we also have the pond of truth that we can sit next to in the cave, alone and or with our hard times twin, to just sit with fundamentally the why we have made all of the decisions we've made. Because that's where you're going to really learn you and how to change you and how to grow you is with the deeper whys. And this isn't about me, but I've been at this quite a while, and I think everyone I've ever met, including myself, maybe especially myself, we just have layers, you know, of whys and truths. And maybe we're willing to see ourselves only as much as we can actually truly accept ourselves. So maybe every 5 years we get a new layer. And that's what this practice is about, you know, with the cave and the hard times twin, is just to be willing to really get into those layers consciously. It's not a race, but it's also not a thing you want to run away from, obviously. So if we're in this cave and we're learning about compassion, and you're having a difficult time with this part of the practice, this is a great practice to bring up if you're going to see a therapist, someone like me, like an acupuncturist, or people who also work in somatic kind of counseling, where there's a really rich opportunity to bring up stuff in that imaginary exercise. So if you are working with people in that way, that's a really, really, really good start, is to say, you know, I learned this crazy meditation practice about this cave and these places, and this is what it's bringing up for me. Because it's a very rich environment, and I can't go into that on a Facebook Live because I'm not sure what's happening to people, really. I'm going to be doing a somatic mindfulness weekend workshop in April. I'll find a link for that after I'm done today. But if that's something you wanted to go deeper into, or as a clinician, learn more practical skills about, that course is coming up in April. Anyway, so if we're in our cave and it's time to leave, let's take a moment and honor the set and the setting and the sacredness of that, kind of a ceremonial practice, because to enter that cave and to truly become intimate to yourself in that way is a ceremonial and sacred thing. So in whatever way you choose to honor those things, just take a moment to do that, because we're going to get up and head out back into the hurricane. And again, we're staying with the tortoise breathing, and we're focusing on that discernment and sense of authenticity from the conscious, visceral, and instinctual places. Because it's a good way to be on Wednesdays. It's only on Wednesday. So if we leave the cave, we're going back into the hurricane. And we don't need to do anything about that except on a nice Wednesday morning, take a moment and ask yourself, what is still flying around in your life in the sense of cows and signs? And what, how do you feel in the way you actually have to move through your day? Are you crawling? Are you walking proudly? You know, it's the hurricane. So just frame yourself as a somatic experience. How hard do you have to push through your hurricane to get through Wednesday? Because it's Wednesday. So we're just going to wander over in our journey to the cliff, and that's where we find our Better Times Twin. And the Better Times Twin has some suggestions for you about how we're going to get into this. And so I'm going to kind of pretend to be your Better Times Twin for a second. First thing we want to do is start with the reminder that this week we're all focused on our pupils. And pupils are not really about vision, they're about attention. And again, that visceral, discerning, authentic presence, because that's really what we're sneaking up on. So your Better Times Twin really wants you to find a way to be more aware of your pupils. And the suggestion is always move your pupils with your spine. And we've talked lots about our spine, the six minds, and how adaptability works. But one of my favorite things to do is to pretend that I'm looking over something or around something or trying to find my way through something. It's like trail running or martial arts or like sports or like many other things where it's a very dynamic and fluid environment, but we sometimes forget that there's a lot of agility to all the ways you can move your spine, the same way you maybe when you're dancing. And when you actually connect your spine to your eyes and start to look at the world that way, we bring back the memory of that thing we did before with the snake. Where we were riding the snake and trying not to fall off and then becoming the snake more by grabbing it by the head and then becoming the snake more by becoming our pupils, becoming its pupils. So that's a pretty intense image, but it should be also a very visceral shift of state. Because your Better Time Twin, as you know, probably wants you to jump off of this cliff. And that's all about leaping. So as we get into that opportunity more and more, we really need to make a kind of a discernment. Because when you look over the cliff, hopefully with a very agile spine, you're going to notice that down the cliff inside this valley is a hurricane, just like the one that's over there. And if you jump off of this cliff, you're going to have to basically fly through a hurricane. And for whatever reason, the hurricane down there is even messier. There's more signs, more cows, more houses and barns flying all over the place. So it's that simple. Can you move your pupils with your spine? And knowing that your spine is connected to your sacrum and your gut and your heart and the rest of you, just focus on your spine. And let it be fed by everything else until it can really meet your pupils. And this is where that breathing goes, again, when we come back up the spine and out of our eyes. So we're going to come back to that tomorrow in a big way. But before you leap, your twin needs you to know that there's two choices. When you jump, you're either going to flail and then find something to grab onto so that you can surf your way down. I always imagine grabbing onto a road sign that I'm surfing some hurricane with, just because it's a goofy image. But that represents your practice, your relationships, your consistency. You know, it's something you can actually bond with that's going to help you navigate your life. The other opportunity for some of us is to leap off the cliff and to flail, because it always starts with some flailing. And then hitting bottom because we can't stop flailing. And again, this course is also about people who are suffering addiction and trying to find sobriety. It's also about people trying to find the truth of why meditation is such an important aspect of life. But as we enter into the new and the maybe perceived as dangerous, we're going to feel like we're flailing. And if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to use these practices to focus so that you can be more effective and successful, embrace the fact that it's going to feel like you're flailing at the beginning. At some point, though, you are going to find ways to navigate. And that's what these practices are all about, is helping people feel like they can steer. And if these practices bring you closer to the feeling of flailing, yahoo, because we really do want to get through that part of ourselves. And then, you know, when we do finally land in the bottom of our valley, in the eye of our hurricane, we can set up a whole new way of existing our lives. And we're going to play with that valley a bit more over the next week, because we only have 10 more little sessions to go. So just wanted to bring your attention to that and to leave you standing on the ledge with your Better Times twin to spend the next 24 hours hanging out with them. Stay with your discernment. Be authentic. They're experiences. They're not ideas. All right. See you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. We're going to do some leaping and then living in a brand new valley in the eye of a hurricane. All right. Blessings. Keep breathing, folks.